Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan in D.C., 106.7 and all over Richmond right now as well, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. The show is always presented by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today and visit BetQL.com. How about those Wizards go into the break with a win after they beat the Clippers last night, victors in 8 of their last 11. Ben Golliver covers the NBA for the Washington Post, and he joins us right now. Ben, how have the Wizards done this? How did they salvage their season? How did they turn what looked like a disaster of a campaign around?
A few different things. I mean, first of all, the credit goes to Bradley Beal. I mean, he's having a career year. He's been unbelievable. He's been in rhythm, and it really hasn't, you know, even when they were playing poorly, he was playing very well. So give him credit first. I think second, they started very slow because Westbrook was just not right out of the gate. I mean, he's still kind of, you don't know exactly what you're getting on a night-to-night basis from him. Sometimes it's great in a late game, like that offensive rebound the other night. Sometimes it's not so great in the late game when he's, you know, shooting a three-pointer over the backboard like he did against the Celtics, you know, last weekend. But he's definitely stepped up his play. But I think the schedule stuff is something that I look at, not just for the Wizards, but for some of these other teams out here like Miami who started slow or Dallas who started slow. The Wizards had that shutdown midseason, and they basically didn't play any games for 2 weeks. They couldn't even really practice. That was a pretty traumatic experience. Everybody else was still playing games, and we're hearing from a lot of coaches and players around the league right now. There's just a fatigue factor. They were so excited for the All-Star break, and I just think the Washington Wizards have been fresher than their opposition here over the last couple of weeks, and they've really taken advantage of that. So maybe it was a short-term pain for a little bit of delayed gain there in terms of the shutdown they had with the COVID protocols.
Ben, I love Danny Avdia. I love his game. This doesn't work right now, though. Listen, they're winning, so you know these complaints are relative. But it's not a great situation when a coach is on the last year of his deal with a couple of high-priced max contract type veterans and Beal and Westbrook. He's not getting enough touches, not getting enough looks. Long-term, big picture, them being really good, not just hot for 2 weeks, but like really good, championship good, is about how good that guy gets to maybe run alongside Bradley Beal. It's kind of a difficult part of the operation to win games and also develop some of these young kids who aren't getting crunch time minutes like in last night. What are your thoughts, A, on Denny, and B, how they can actually get him some more responsibility to ultimately raise his ceiling?
Well, there's no question they're juggling multiple priorities this year. I think anytime you're kind of under the gun of potential Bradley Beal trade talk and all that stuff that's been swirling forever, your first priority has to be trying to win as many games as possible. And that's certainly true when your coach is in the last year of his contract, right? I mean, you can't try to convince Scott Brooks, hey, play for the future. I mean, that's a pretty tough sell in that situation. That wouldn't be fair to him or to your best player. Same thing. I mean, you make a commitment when you trade for Russell Westbrook is you want to go out there and have this be a season that's focused on winning no matter how poorly it starts. Look, if the entire season got away from them and they weren't putting together wins, they definitely would have shifted into more of a developmental mindset. I think that's true. Now, in terms of Denny, look, he's got a lot of skill to his game. He's a very natural player. He's got a little swag, too, a little confidence, which you like to see from young players. You know, he fits in, right? He comes to the NBA. He's not overwhelmed by the moment. And kind of on and off the court, he's really got a nice confidence to him. I just kind of question the fit. How well does he work with a player like Westbrook? And I think that's one of the biggest questions Washington's got to, address going forward. When he's on the court, a lot is running through him. The ball is in his hands a lot. You're kind of living and dying with that Russell Westbrook experience. We've seen in other situations with talented young players, Oklahoma City or even in Houston as well, where those guys are marginalized a little bit or they have to take a step back because of Westbrook's presence to just accommodate his high usage and to accommodate his offensive demands for the ball. And so it's going to be tricky for any of those guys to kind of fit in around him. But I do think at this point of the season, if you're the Wizards, you should continue to prioritize playing your vets, continue trying to win as many games as possible right now, Because, look, there's a lot at stake for this team in the short term. I know it's weird because they're 14-20, and in a normal season you might say, hey, they're out of it. I mean, they're practically in the play-in conversation as we speak, and they're not very far away from that playoff conversation that seemed like it was going to be an impossibility when they shut down for a couple weeks earlier this year. So to me, you know, keep your foot on the gas. This is not a very tough Eastern Conference this year. You've only got five teams right now above 500, and I don't think the Knicks are going to stay above 500 as we go forward through this season. So there's a lot of winnable games, and just try to go out and keep that the priority.
Ben Golliver covers the NBA for the Washington Post, joining us on Grant and Danny. I know we're early in the precinct reports here, but your thoughts on the Wall for Westbrook trade 40-plus or so games in now?
Well, I think everybody would have agreed it was a disaster 20 games ago, right? I mean, when Westbrook is injured and Wall is kind of getting off to a pretty good start in Houston, but I mean, you balance these things out right now. Houston hasn't won a game in an awful long time. They got embarrassed in James Harden's home coming back down there. You know, 13-game losing streak. Wall has looked better than I expected coming off of that injury, but in terms of being a night-to-night contributor, that's still an open question. They've had to rest him in certain games. And there is that fear of re-injury. Now, with Westbrook, like I mentioned, it's a similar deal. Like, what do you get every single night? And you don't really know that from him. Some nights it's spectacular. He's always going to get the box score stats, but what does the impact look like? So I think, from Washington's standpoint, if they felt like they needed to move on, and that was all the word that we were hearing, is basically like, look, this is just, it's time to go their separate ways. I think it's still a reasonable situation. Now, you're going to look at that draft pick potentially and nitpick that and say, well, look, these guys have played pretty similarly so far this season. They're not – one player is not meaningfully better than the other. It's not like Westbrook has totally outperformed John Wall this year, so why did Washington have to kick in that draft pick? I can understand that nitpicking for sure, but I think so far, Washington's not looking back. You know, if I was the Wizards, that would be kind of distant memory. I understand they've already kind of played the Rockets twice, and I think you just move forward from that as quickly and as smoothly as you can. It's a different team. You know, this is definitely Bradley Beal's team. You're seeing him just, 40-plus points night after night after night. I don't think that would have necessarily been possible had they continued with John Wall. It just would have been a different dynamic because he was there first. And so I think if you're Washington, you're going forward, and it's no regrets.
Ben Golliver with us here on Grant and Danny talking some hoops. Ben, what should they do with the trade deadline?
Well, I would sit, Pat. I think the most interesting thing about this trade deadline is that, the financial implications. You've got a lot of ownership groups, around the league that are hurting from a financial standpoint just because, they're not getting the gate receipts. I mean, there's a report today that Sacramento, one reason why they don't want to fire Luke Walton, and that's been a pretty tough story there, for the Sacramento Kings this season. One reason they don't want to fire him is because, it would be expensive. They don't want to pay two coaches in that situation. You see Boston, they're already talking about maybe we won't use the trade exception this year just because of, financial reasons probably influencing that decision as well, as their cap position. So I think you're going to see a lot of teams be hesitant to take on money. You saw Detroit today. They're buying out Blake Griffin. That's absolutely a financially motivated decision as well. So I think that's really going to kind of be the story of this trade deadline, kind of from a big picture. We've already seen by far the biggest trade that's going to happen this year. That was the James Harden trade from Houston to Brooklyn, kind of crowning them, to me as the new best team in the Eastern Conference. And I think that the real buying is going to take place from a small group of contenders. We're talking about the Lakers, the Clippers, possibly the Jazz, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Nets, and the Sixers. I mean, that group is going to be looking to add pieces. And I think if you're Washington, I mean, you don't really have a ton, I don't think, that you're willing to part with. It's not like they've got a whole bunch of, veterans just kind of rotting on the end of the bench. I mean, everybody's kind of getting their time this year. So I don't really see Washington as major sellers in this situation. And I don't know if I see the long-term upside with trying to invest and bring somebody on at this deadline. I think if I were them, it would most likely be a quiet trade deadline.
And it probably will be. Ben Golliver of the Post with us here on The Fan. Around the NBA now, we're getting ready for All-Star festivities this weekend. It's going to have a new look, the first ever time that the dunk contest, the three-point contest, will be on the same night as the game. What is your anticipation for Sunday night and what this is going to look like?
Well, I'll be honest. Look, it's better than nothing. I think that should be the official slogan, right? I mean, if you're a basketball fan, like, at least you get to watch something on Sunday night, right? Because, I mean, we're talking about squeezing the dunk contest into a halftime show. You've only got three guys. It's the smallest field in the history of the slam dunk contest. So from that standpoint, my expectations are very low. I would say this. The three guys they did get for the dunk contest can really dunk. I mean, Obi Toppin, he gets compared to like an Amari Stoudemire. You know, he's got some pretty interesting highlights on YouTube where he's going between the legs on alley-oops and all sorts of stuff. So he should be a nice headliner. Anfernee Simons, this real skinny kid from the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, he just flies off the hardwood. It's a little bit like a Spud Webb or a Nate Robinson vibe from him. And then Cassius Stanley has been making highlight reels since he was like 16 years old as a high schooler. He's got a bigger vertical leap than Zion Williamson at Duke. So I think those guys are going to, you know, put on a pretty good show. It's just tricky when you have no fans, right? It's an empty arena. You're doing it at halftime. Everybody just wants you to get off the court so they can play the second half of the All-Star game. It's going to be tricky. But I do think LeBron showed it once again. I mean, just a masterful All-Star drafter. I mean, he's going to go down as the greatest drafter in the All-Star game's history. Absolutely loaded starting lineup. He gets Jokic. He gets Giannis. He gets Curry. I mean, Luka, just right down the list. And then he also got in a little burn to the Utah Jazz. I don't know if you guys saw that. I mean, I don't think that that was accidental at all, that LeBron James and Kevin Durant left the two Utah Jazz guys for the last two picks in that All-Star draft last night. I think they were trying to let the Utah Jazz know, hey, look, you might have the best regular season record right now, but you are not the best team. You've never done it before in the playoffs. You've got to earn your stripes. I think they were playing a little mind games with the Utah Jazz. What do you guys think?
You know, I hadn't even thought of that. But it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, this is the same person that told Gilbert Arenas something horrible that caused him to miss two free throws and make me sad for 2 years, Ben. So it's entirely plausible that mind games were played there. My last question for you, not necessarily on that front, but just in general, how many real, honest-to-goodness title contenders are there? Because I feel like, and maybe I'm just desperate for this, I feel like there might be eight. Tell me if I'm crazy.
Ooh, well, tell me you're eight. I don't see eight, but give me the last couple. You see Boston as one, I suppose?
So that's where I mean, listen, 19 and 17, they've been a disappointment, but I would be terrified of that big three, and I like Tice and some of that pick-and-roll action that they can do, and I think Brad Stevens is a genius. I wouldn't want to play them. So that's my eighth team, which, again, might be a hot take.
Well, look, if I were them, I'd be trying to add at the trade deadline to solidify that standing, because I came out of the bubble expecting them to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. They just haven't really been able to completely put it together. Part of that's Kemba's injury issues. I think part of that is they're just so reliant on these lineups that have two centers. And that's just a really tough way to play right now. So if they could find like one more wing to kind of, you know, not nearly as good as a Gordon Hayward, but just kind of plug into that role, a little bit more reduced responsibilities just to get some better lineup balance, I could see that. I mean, to me, I think the story in the Western Conference right now, it's Lakers, Clippers, Jazz. Those are the three teams that I take seriously. In the Eastern Conference, I think the Brooklyn Nets are going to wind up being the number one seed, and it could be by a lot. I mean, they've been unbelievable here the last 3 weeks. I think they're going to win the conference, frankly. I understand all the questions about the defense. I understand the questions about the depth, but their top-end talent is so good. Those guys can score on anyone. They're just a matchup nightmare, and they stick to their style, and they were able to put that style together so quickly. To me, that says that there's going to be a lot of good things coming for them. Of course, I would keep Philly and Milwaukee in that conversation. So I guess I'm at six. You know, we're not too far apart, but you know, Boston, you don't want to count them out because this, you know, they've been hit by the protocols as well. Tatum missed some time, and to me, it's more of a mental test for them. Can they kind of pull themselves back together? Can they rally the troops? Does Marcus Smart coming back sort of give them their confidence back? Because they've lost an awful lot of games this year in just kind of disappointing fashion, right? Not that championship type fashion that I've been expecting. You know, one other sleeper we should probably mention, and they've been, you know, really below 500 for most of the year, would be the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler is playing out of his mind right now. Could they go on another deep playoff run with the combination of him, Bam, and a nice supporting cast? I would say that's possible too. I wouldn't put them in that firm contender category yet, but I think they're kind of sleeping giants.
Ben, real quick on Bradley Beal playing in this game and getting to start. Does he need to play well, but is he still at a place where he can benefit immensely from a big game, or is he already arrived to the point where nationally he's got that respect? He doesn't really have to show that great in this performance.
Well, look, he's going to be a much happier being there and starting than he was last year when the whole conversation was snub talk. I try to put myself in these guys' situation. Can you imagine how much it would suck to be snubbed? I mean, and everybody has to talk about it. You got to address it in interviews for weeks and weeks. People still bring it up 9 months later the next time it's time for All-Star voting. So, he had a major, major vote tally in the fans. I don't know where they were finding all these fans. Incredible. I mean, he was up there with some of the biggest stars in the game. So kudos to him. I'm not sure that puts any extra pressure on him, but of course you want to do well, and you want to make sure you can kind of justify that spot. What's interesting is, like, you know, he's played for Team KD. I'm not sure if KD is actually going to be there because of the injury, but they got Harden coming off the bench behind him, right? So that's going to be maybe he's going to be fighting for a little bit of minutes more than most starters. Who knows exactly how that goes, because, you know, they're going to want to favor those Brooklyn Nets guys out of respect to the captain, Kevin Durant.
At Ben Golliver on Twitter. Ben, this is great, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. Have a great weekend.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. Take care.
We'll see you, man.
Read Ben's work in the Washington Post. I'm excited for Beal. You can tell he is elated. He's ready to go. He was joking last night about going out there to try to win the MVP award. I want him to show well. I think it would be a big deal for him if he's able to shoot it. I know yesterday he was off a little bit early in the game, but generally when he hoists, he gets an open look, he knocks it down. I think it would be just a neat deal for him a year after not being in the game if he could be a storyline and really take over for a few possessions. He's leading the NBA in scoring, and it's not even close, yeah. Danny. He's running away with the scoring title, so hopefully he gets some looks and guys feed him the basketball, and he can become one of the main stars of an event full of them.
I think it'd be really cool, and I'm with you in the sense of personal satisfaction, because that's what this is now. This is not a team thing. This isn't please respect my Wizards or, you know, please pay attention to the Nationals. This is a pure, honest-to-goodness, can we please understand how great Bradley Beal has been? And by the way, shooting a career worst from three-point range this year, Bradley Beal is still managing 33 a game pretty much. It's incredible, and it's just a testament to how diverse his offensive game has truly become. Career high from the field at 48.2%, right? Or yeah, 48.2%. But career worst in three-point range. So all the other parts of his game have fallen in. Career high free throw percentage. The efficiency is off the charts despite a career worst from three. It's just, the guy's amazing. He's absolutely amazing, and this is all justified. I want him showered with attention.
Big thanks to Ben Golliver for joining us on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Alex Smith has been released. We were waiting on this. We were told midway through last week it would happen sometime this week. And as is generally the case, you want that news dump on a Friday. So today it came down that Washington and Smith are parting ways. In the statement that Ron Rivera released, a classy statement saying that his leadership was instrumental this season and that he will be missed in the facility, they did say, and Rivera did say, that they accommodated Smith. Made it seem like he wanted to be released. Now, they didn't say that they also wanted to release him, but I'll fill in that blank. I think that was a big part of this. But, Danny, they now have over $50 million in cap space after adding another $15 mil nearly by doing this. That's without getting into the rollover money that they are potentially allowed to go over the cap with. So they're going to have actually closer to maybe $60-plus million in space, and that could grow still. I mean, they could make a deal or two. They could extend Brandon Scherff and create some cap space. They could rework a contract. They could release another veteran. There are things they could still do if they want to create more space. They don't have to.
That's right.
They got over $50 million, and I'm getting really excited for free agency, and I want to kick it like I'm in high school again, where at midnight I'm up when free agency starts trying to track the plane numbers on the old artist formerly known as Redskins 1. I want to do this like they used to do it the early 2000s, man. I want a big offseason. I want to spend. I want to be aggressive. I want to throw cash at some stars. I want to add talent. I think this is a offseason where teams can actually do more to swing the pendulum on who has good players and who doesn't in the league than most offseasons. I really believe that.
The two best teams based on last year with a lot of cap room are the Colts, who are in a great spot, and they're really good, and Washington. The other teams ahead of them are in dire straits. Jaguars, Jets, Patriots, non-Tom Brady division, are not in great spots as a team right now. Washington and the Colts are the two best teams with some cap room to spare. That matters, because Washington over the years, if they wanted a player, had to pay the we stink tax. I don't know that you have to pay that to the same degree. I know that it's a shebangus behind the scenes, and we started the show talking about, you know, Gong Show, Dan Snyder, lawsuits, cover-ups, suspensions and stuff like that, but from the on-field on down,
yeah,
the
when you
Ron
get to
Rivera
football
division,
product,
yeah,
it's better.
Football ops, young defensive core, a couple decent offensive pieces, quality ones, including Gibson and McLaurin, the emergence of Logan Thomas. This is not a bad destination all of a sudden when it comes to that. Now, track record would say one thing, but right now this minute in a league that's minute-to-minute at times, they're not in a bad spot. The Colts are in a better spot. I'm not telling you that we're better off than the Colts. I'm telling you that you're in that conversation where you might win a tie. You might not have to spend those extra couple of million up front to beat out the Dolphins or the Browns or the Cowboys or somebody like that. This is all of a sudden not a terrible place for some free agents to end up.
I'm going to make the case next as to why I think they should be really active and ultra aggressive. And I want to see if I can get people to buy what I'm selling. Let's open up the AAA Always On Call listener lines. Anybody else want to see them kick it old school, if you will, and go out and really be a player in free agency for some big names? Or do you want them to be safe and frugal as they have been over the recent several seasons? 800-636-1067 is how you join us to discuss that. We'll get into that. I'm going to make the case for trying to really be a factor in some of the sweepstakes for the top fish available to be reeled in. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny are counting you down to the start of NFL free agency. They're spending 20 shows looking ahead to the start of the new league year.
There's only one good choice for you here.
What will Washington do when the player movement begins?
Excellent choice.
It's time to find out on Grant and Danny.
Counting today, 8 shows separate us from the start of the league year and free agency. How about it, Danny? We started at 20. It felt like it was forever away. But we're knocking on the door
now. It's
really
that close. It's right around the corner. It still feels like it's a month away from me because I'm not quite even ready for the fact that it's March. But this isn't like baby steps into March. We're into March now, right? I mean, that the guy that we don't have on the show anymore is going to tweet a bunch of times about how it's March, you know? And I'm not even really ready for that. But it is. It's March. It's happening very soon.
A week from Thursday. But that means next week is going to be a madhouse as well, with players getting cut and many of those guys immediately signing with other teams because they're not going to have to wait until the start of the league year if they're released before they became free agents naturally when the market began. Going to be exciting. If you love football, you love the Washington football team and player movement as much as we do, it'll be a must-listen operation here on Grant and Danny next week, and we're excited to preview it with Warren Sharp coming up in about an hour at 4:40 today. Nats fans remember Dan Hudson, reliever who was a World Series hero and a closer throughout October 2019. He's going to be on the show to talk about the new-look bullpen. We'll chat with him at 5:25 today. But I want to make the case for why Washington should go hard this offseason. throw some monies at their problems and be a little bit more like they were years ago than they have been recently. There are a few reasons, but the main one for me is I really believe there could be a shift in where the talent resides in the league in the next few weeks that is abnormally large because of the teams that have money having a lot of it and the teams that don't have money being in worse spots than normal. Like, you can generally skirt the cap and get around the cap if you're the Saints or the Cowboys or some of these teams that are in a bad cap situation. When the cap is $215 million, something like that, it's a whole lot easier to manage that when you're over the cap than when it's down around 180. And I think what people are about to see is what a game changer this cap shrinking was. Everyone keeps talking about the cap being down 15 or so million, but teams were planning and projecting that it was going to grow. Every year it grows. Nobody saw the pandemic coming. So it's not just that it's down 15. You were forecasting and projecting. Every capologist, every guy with the calculator in the front office was actually projecting growth. So you have to add 15 or 20 million from the original blueprint to the 15 or 20 million less that you're going to have. And it actually is more like 30 or 40 million that some of these teams might be off. So it is going to be a situation where a lot of guys get cut. There will be more high-end talent available at the start of the league year and before the league year than there normally is. And that's reason number one why I think Washington needs to be aggressive. That this is going to be an offseason where you're more able to add good pieces and add players that can help and upper echelon talent than is generally the case. That's number one. Number two, I think that the haves and the have-nots in terms of who has and doesn't have money is going to be more stark than in most offseasons. And they have money. They have positioned themselves beautifully. They deserve a lot of credit for this. In the same way that you can bash teams who do a bad job with the cap, Washington was in position to take advantage of this, to thrive when this came about. They would have been in a good spot anyway. Now they're in an incredible position. That's number two. But I want to play this clip from Michael Bidwell, who's the owner of the Cardinals. He was on SiriusXM NFL Radio yesterday. And I think this will crystallize a little bit of what I'm talking about, because this is what I've been screaming into a megaphone, and I'm just some dumb fat guy with a decently shaped beard, but here's an owner of an NFL team who just signed J.J. Watt, who I think is really understanding this and maybe can word it better than I can as to why a team like Washington should be more aggressive this year than in other years.
I think there's going to be a seismic shift in talent across the NFL. You've got teams that are projected to be well over the cap. We've got teams projected to be well under. I know every free agent or potential free agent out there is thinking, well, they're not going to get released, but you know, they're going to be a bunch of surprises for people here in a few weeks when everybody has to get under the cap and free agency starts. And my guess is that, you know, like I said, I see a big shift, seismic shift in terms of the talent moving around. It's going to be an opportunity, and we just felt like this was a great opportunity for us to get a terrific player, a terrific leader, somebody who's a culture changer and really brings accountability to the locker room, to the weight room, to the practice field, and brings that winning attitude.
Seismic shift, he said a couple times there, and talent moving around. What he means
that's
is
the phrase, yeah.
The teams who have the best players are going to change potentially this offseason, because of who's got the money and who doesn't. It's going to be easier, in my opinion, if you are Jacksonville, to go from being horrendous to being competitive this offseason than in most offseasons. I want to take advantage of this. I do not want to pretend like this is just a normal March, Danny. There is nothing normal about this March. You have a golden opportunity to improve massively. Please do so. Sign a terrific receiver. Sign an excellent linebacker. Sign a really good corner. Go get another wide receiver. Whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it all. Right now, seize the moment. And oh, by the way, your schedule is a debacle of epic proportion next year, so you're going to need some talent if you don't want to take a step back.
So here's what you're doing. You are dressed in an outstanding suit. You have a beautiful pocket square, and you have your sermon up at the podium. And instead of looking out at the audience, You are turning around to the members of the choir and telling them to believe. My friend, I am in lockstep with you, sir. Now is the time. You've bided your time and you've taken your lumps. You've been judicious, even though there are a couple bad contracts that were left over to this current group, right? Whether it was Josh Norman or Landon Collins or otherwise. You've gotten yourself into this position. Maybe lucky. Maybe you're fortunate. I don't know. But here's the thing. You're here. You are, as I said, the second best team with significant cap space. Everybody else that's down here in the muck with you was a hot garbage fire, picking one, picking two, picking first half of the first round. Jaguars, Jets, Patriots, Broncos, Bengals, Panthers. None of these teams are any good. You and the Colts are the two best teams with cap room. Now, I'm not saying 7-9 is great. I'm saying you got one pretty good unit in the defense that could use some supplementation. Go ahead and supplement them. This is your moment to transform yourself. Now, you got to get it right. Obviously, you don't just pay $20 million to pay $20 million, but you've got a chance here to do something special. You don't have to be an ulcer rat. You don't have to be cannon fodder for the other teams in the division who laugh at you behind your back. You got a chance. You got a chance. Obviously, get it right, but go get your Allen Robinson. Go get your star. Get your Will Fuller if you think that's the best option. Whatever it is, you could do it this time. You couldn't do it most times, and it may end the disappointment. Entirely possible it does, by the way, where you pay a free agent, it doesn't work out. It's just the latest punchline for some columnist, some tourist to write something snarky in 2 years. Fine, let that happen. But you are in a pretty decent spot here because Ron Rivera and his group of former Carolina Panthers employees are in charge, and there's adulthood. There are adults that are in charge right now. You got something pretty decent going. You got some momentum. Probably a year ahead of schedule, but here you are with that momentum. Go and achieve. This is your chance. You don't have many. That's why partly, honestly, I'm so willing to move heaven and earth to go sign that franchise quarterback, to go trade for him. Because you've got some cap space, you could supplement and add to it. But it looks like that part, the first part may not happen, but the second part, you're damn right can.
And there's a real good chance that the cap grows again exponentially next year. You know, maybe, depending on the process being executed well and the speed with which people get vaccinated, you know, maybe there are 70,000 some people in stadiums next season, and the money coming into the league from not only fans in the stands but the TV networks on a reworked deal ends up hitting, and we're able to get right back to doing business as usual. And you don't even have to pay a piper down the road. You just get back to having that extra money that you originally allocated. To me, it is just such a fortuitous, wonderful thing that this team is one of a handful in the entire league that when everyone else has gone, oh, my goodness, this stinks, we're in a bad spot, they're going, we couldn't be in a better spot. And normally in March, the difference between the teams that don't have cap space and the teams that have a lot of cap space, it can be sizable, it can be pretty substantial, but it's never quite like this. The difference between the Indianapolis's, Washington's, Jacksonville's, and the New Orleans's, who are already cutting players left and right and getting, if you're a punter or a kicker or a long snapper, I mean, we're the minimum. We can't afford to pay those guys $1 million this year. They're just taking like salt and pepper shakers off the table and going, get us cheaper ones.
Right.
Everything is for sale. It's not buckled down, buttoned down in some of these places, like Pittsburgh. I want them to seize this. And I understand the patience when you're not that close, and they're not close right now, perhaps, in their own minds. But I feel like with the amount of talent that is going to be out there, there will be more players at positions than there are seats. It's going to drive down the cost as well for some of these guys. That's not to say that you're not going to have to pay really good money for terrific football players, but whereas you might have to pay someone this year $16 million, it may have cost $21 before this. You may have to pay someone AAV $12 million to play linebacker for you this year that might have cost $14.5 million. Take advantage of that too. That all adds up. As far as I'm concerned, Brandon Scherff's a good example, Danny. I don't know if you saw yesterday the report about like some of these guards that might be getting cut around the NFL. Three or four of the better guards in the league might be cap casualties. If they hit the market and flood the market, all of a sudden Brandon Scherff demanding what he's going to demand probably is a little bit easier to say, not quite, if you're Washington, to give him a little bit less. But these are the types of things that are going to happen. Please. Kick it old school. My concern is that fans are so, they hate the words free agency just
petrifies
this fan base. They're nervous. They hear it and they, They think Dan Snyder. They don't think London Fletcher. They think, Deion Sanders. They don't think London Fletcher. They think Mark Carrier, Jeff George, and Adam Archuleta, Brandon Lloyd. They don't think Pierre Garçon. It can be good. If done properly, with smart people evaluating, it's a wonderful thing. Ask the Packers the last few years. Ask the Broncos when they loaded up to go win a Super Bowl. But Peyton Manning was their quarterback. Peyton Manning wasn't any good that year. I'm the biggest Peyton Manning mark there was. There is. He stunk that season. They still won. They benched him for Brock Osweiler, I think, at one point. So let's see what people think, Danny. What do you think? 800-636-1067. AAA always on call listener lines. Do you think people will buy what we're selling here and say, yeah, let's go. Let's go big in free agency? Or will they want to be, quote-unquote, safe and frugal again?
Frugal fannies. There may be a couple guys that get excited like us, but I think for the most part, people just go, Albert Hainsworth, Deion Sanders, Bruce Smith, Mark Carrier.
Don't you want to watch Washington Football Team 1 flying around in the sky like you're an 11-year-old on Christmas Eve on that Santa site trying to figure out what country he's in and when he's projected to land on your roof? Don't you want to do that again? Remember how fun that was? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I'm Grant. He's Danny. This is The Fan. AAA Always On Call listener lines open at 800-636-1067. One of the best pending free agents who is going to hit the market in just a couple of weeks has been franchise tagged. We'll tell you who in just a moment. So one of the best players that Washington or anybody else could have signed at a position of need for Washington, oh, by the way, is no longer available. We'll give you the details on that in just a sec, but let's hit a couple of calls here on G and D. The question for you guys is, I want to go big in free agency. I want to kick it like it's 2000. I want to win the next couple of weeks. Add talent, throw money at problems, and bring in some real assets to this building, this organization. Allen Robinson at wide receiver. If Levante David's available at linebacker, bring him aboard. Let's get the burgundy and gold bus going. Swing that arm like you have to do at the front of the bus so that door opens, and let's pick him up. But we want to see. Danny's on board. He's sitting shotgun with me. We're driving the bus to go pick up some good players to spend this money that this team's been sitting on and saving and rolling over. Now's the time, in my opinion, to pounce. What about you guys? Let's go to Paul in Southern Maryland on line one. Paul, you're on G&D. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
I'm with you guys. I think, as you guys outlined, with the cap number dropping and the unprecedented state that we're in right now, I think it creates a unique situation. And that being, you're able to get more talent on your team where you wouldn't normally have been able to because of the way our front office has us positioned. That being said, once you get them on the team, once you get them on board, like you said, the cap could go back up exponentially to where you had it, your money allocated to begin with. So then you'd be able to keep this talent on your team. So the seismic shift, I understand what the guy's saying, and I agree completely. I would spend big on free agency. We've already signed Heineke to an extension. I think maybe we bring in like a Mariota-like talent, somebody that can compete in the offseason, start the best guy, and hope that Heinicke can play at the level that we're all hoping he can, maybe thinking he's able to, and spend your money on offense. If it's possible, bring in Allen Robinson. That would be a godsend. And then with the draft capital that we have, see if we can shoot for that Kyle Pitts out of Florida and bring him in, have him and Logan Thomas, Allen Robinson, Scary Terry, Antonio Gibson, shore up the O-line a little bit, address Shirt. If we can't get him to re-sign, then like you said, had outlined with the Giants getting ready to get rid of some of their guards and some talent that will be available.
Paul, that offense you just outlined, those players, thanks for the call, petrifying for a defensive coordinator,
yeah.
Unrealistic because Pitts hadn't fallen to 19, you'd have to trade up. Most mocks have him going in the top 10. Some have him going in the top 5. But I get what you're saying. I mean, you get another weapon there to add to Robinson and McLaurin with the development of Gibson. And all of a sudden, whatever lower-tier quarterback you've got levels up to being perhaps mediocre, ideally manages the game, and at least gives you a chance to hang in a lot of these games with that defense. But the reason to his point, why now, why this year, Danny? Number one, more good players available than normal. This is playing the lottery, right? The more guys that are out there, the better the chance that you can land a couple of them. They're going to be cut this year in a way that they aren't normally because the cap is smaller and teams weren't expecting it. Number two, there's a bigger discrepancy between what having money means and not having money means. That's always been a big deal coming into free agency, but the rich and the poor, so to speak, there's never been a wider gap than right now, and Washington happens to be one of the rich. Got rid of Alex Smith, over $50 million in space, rolling over another 15 or so. And then the other thing I would throw out there real quick, Danny, too, coaching. Last year, J.D. Yeah. McKissick was better than what we thought J.D. McKissick was when he got here. Logan Thomas was better than we thought he was after he showed up here. I can keep going with this list, but Wes Schweitzer, Ronald Darby, there were a lot of guys on this team that overperformed what we thought they were when they were signed. So I also happen to have some faith right now in this staff that if you add that talent, that they can get something out of those guys in this system.
Yeah, everybody from Logan Thomas to Cole Holcomb. I mean, they found a way to have guys punch above their weight class. That's outstanding. That's good coaching. That, to me, is I think, probably the most central thing of Dan Snyder's ownership that's trickled down among all the different coaches and regimes that they've had. They have not done a very good job, by and large, developing talent. There have been guys that have played well, certainly, and have gotten better and improved over their course of time. But that wholesale feeling where you're going to get more by week 10 than you're getting from week 1 from fill in the blank hasn't been a case across the board normally. And it was this year. I think this staff is the biggest upgrade that they made. I really do, especially when it comes to Jack Del Rio. And I think Scott Turner deserves a lot of credit and his staff as well for getting more out of guys that were afterthoughts, be they Logan Thomas, J.D. McKissick and company.
Countdown to free agency is on Grant and Danny. 8 shows counting today, separating us from the start of the league year. Jamie in D.C., you are on the Fan. How's it going, buddy?
How you doing? Thanks for having me on. I want to spend super big in free agency. I mean, definitely early 2000s style. I do the seismic shift is something that because of the talent that wouldn't normally be available, we could fill so many holes. I mean, even like depth, special teams. I mean, you name it. Like, I mean, in the next 10 to 15 years, we can make a shift so big that you'll be looking back like, you know, remember in 2021, the Washington football team adopted all this talent, and they've been on a roll since. And I would say to the fans that are wary of the Brandon Lloyds and the Albert Hainsworths and, you know, and the Deion Sanders, I would say, you know, we got London Fletcher, to your point, Barry Cofield, D'Angelo Hall, Pierre Garçon, Marcus Washington. So, you know, free agency doesn't have to be a scary time. And I do, to y'all last point, I do trust this coaching staff so much that I expect them to be aggressive, but they're going to be smart and, you know, bring in some mid-level talent that they'll, you know, definitely probably
right.
get the most out of.
You can be, thanks for the call, smart and aggressive. It doesn't mean you have to just be wild and throwing things at the wall and not even caring who the player is and how they fit. Who's the best wide receiver available? Right now it's Will Fuller. Okay, get Will Fuller. I mean, be smart and aggressive. But the key word for me is aggressive. Urgency. None of this sitting around and it's okay because we signed Kendall Reyes to a 2-year deal, so our defensive line problem is fixed. Everything's fine. Steven Paya got a $20 million contract. Enough with that. Go add players who come in here and give you the talent that you need to win. They haven't had enough talent. They just had a first-team All-Pro for the first time in 25 years. You need more talent. Danny, the player that was franchise tagged really quick, just to get this out there because we told people we would, Justin Simmons, according to NFL.com's Ian Rappaport, will not become a free agent. Sensational safety, was expected to be the best safety perhaps on the market, a top 10 free agent. Some people have actually linked him to Washington. He will not be available.
So there you have it. Are you expecting a lot of franchise tags? I'm not. I think there's only going to be a couple. And I feel like we always talk about them as possibilities, and we don't end up with many. But maybe I'm crazy. I feel like there's going to be even less than normal.
I agree with that for the reason that we're talking about now. Franchise tag guarantees a player top five pay at the position. I think if you don't have a choice, you tag a guy. If you'd like to keep them around, see Brandon Scherff, you probably don't this year. If you'd like to keep a guy around, you're the Vikings and their safety, Anthony Harris, you probably let that guy walk. But if you have the money and it's not a big deal, yeah, you probably still use the tag. But I'll bet you it is a lower number than normal, and it's 100% going to be lower than it would be if not for the cap situation. Beltway Blitz is next. The Wizards with Ava Wallace, Caps with Ben Raby, and the football team with Ben Standig right here on 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.